Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Turn your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 3. I want to share something the Lord has really placed upon my heart. I want to say that I believe that this is a word from heaven. I believe that this is a word of the Lord. If you want a title for this, although we do have a title, understand more than anything, this is something I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now. Now, I believe that every bit of the Word of God that we read, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation last, understand this, it is all profitable. The Bible says that the Word is profitable for instruction, for correction, for doctrine, for all of these things, for reproof, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we know that every part of the Word is good. And we can derive things from every aspect of the Word of God. You can start anywhere and you can derive some type of truth and some type of understanding that will change your life, that will transform your life, that will benefit you, that will cause faith to arise and cause you to come into the inheritance that God has for you. But I think that we also realize at certain times and certain seasons, there are things that God is emphasizing. It's like, we have the Logos word, which is God's spoken word. It's God's written word. But then we have the Rhema. Hear this. The Rhema is more than just the spoken. It is the now word that is applicable for the time and the season that you are living in. And so how many of you know whenever God told Noah to build a boat, that's a Logos word that we read in the Bible, in the Word of God, but that is not necessarily a Rhema word for us as individuals. God's not telling you to go build a boat out of gopher wood. Does everybody understand the difference here? Trying to bring you some understanding. So there are certain things that God will emphasize in certain seasons, and those are what I call Rhemas. Now, a Rhema is also a part of the Logos word that God causes to come alive within your heart, within your spirit, where it's no more just the dead letter, but it is the life-giving force of the Holy Spirit that has brought a revelation of that particular passage of Scripture. Now, what I want to share with you this morning is something that has been very unusual in the sense of this. The last three places that I have ministered, in the beginning of March, I ministered up in Little Rock, and then the end of March, we went to Barbados, and then we just got back from the ramp. And every time that I have ministered, there is something that has been common in all of those places that I have ministered, and that's what's been coming out along the lines of keys of the kingdom. Everybody say keys of the kingdom. And the Lord has been giving me some understanding and revelation about keys of the kingdom, some things I have never seen before. And I'm sure that we all have heard teaching and ministry. As a matter of fact, we've taught about it before. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven, et cetera, et cetera. We learn about and have heard about the binding and loosing power that we have and the authority that we have been given, and the keys that we have been given in areas like that. But the Lord began to show me some things that I had never really seen before that I believe that are fitting and applicable for the season of time that we are in right now. Without getting ahead of myself, let me say this. I want everybody that is a member of High Praise to understand this. This church is in a new season. And by the fact that this church is in a new season, that means this, you are in a new season. I want you to look at somebody and say, you are in a new season. Look at somebody and say, you're in a new time. Look at somebody and say, this is a new moment. And understand this, whenever God causes you to shift out of one season into another season, that means this, things begin to change within you, and also things begin to change around you. And so I hear the Lord saying that He is calling this church body to make a shift into a new season that He is bringing us into that is greater than any season that we have ever experienced. My friend, you may have thought that you have experienced the blessing of God, but I'm here to prophesy to you today that you haven't seen anything yet, because it will not be able to compare to that which God is bringing forth within your life in this new season. Look at somebody, say, it's a new season. We used to sing a song here. I still love the song. It's a new season. You remember it? It's a new day. A fresh anointing is coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. You remember that song? You know, we may have to kind of dig it out of the archives and begin to sing it again, because I believe it's something that the Lord is saying. We are entering into a new season. Glory to God. I believe that the Lord is thrusting us into an apostolic season. We have functioned in a pastoral and in a prophetic season, but the Lord says, I am ushering you in to a new apostolic season where the things that I have declared and the things that have been prophesied will even come to pass very quickly, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say, yes, Lord. Now, these three places that I went to minister, and then at the ramp, every time I'd get up to minister, these are things that would just begin to pour out of me. And so let me read this scripture so you'll know where I'm going about the keys of the kingdom. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. You might want to write that down or underline it. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. Let me just pause here for a moment to say this. Whenever God unlocks something within your life, hear this, nobody has the power to shut it up. Whenever God inserts the key, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but whenever God inserts the key into your life and begins to open things up, just like he said to the church at Philadelphia, understand the church, although it's being written to the messenger or the pastor that is representative there, understand this, that word is to that entire church body. And what the Lord is saying, I'm opening doors, I'm opening things to you. There is a key that is being inserted and things are opening up to you. And I got news for you. Listen, nobody has the power to shut what I'm opening up. Hallelujah. Nobody had the power to open it up, and nobody has the power to shut it once it's open, glory to God. Can I tell you that there are things that God is opening to us right now? Hear this. The devil can't shut it. Man can't shut it. There is nobody that has the power to keep us back from what God is opening us up to right now. Hear this. The miracles that God has decreed and declared, the enemy can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. Are you hearing me? Man can't stop it. Rebellion can't stop it. Stop it. I'm telling you, God is going to perform what he has declared. Hallelujah. Too often we give the enemy too much power. And I will tell you that a lot of times what some people have called warfare is not warfare. It's because of their own thinking, their own believing, and they're getting beat up by the devil. But I'm telling you, you are transforming out of that stage. You are moving into a new season. You are moving into a new stage where you're going to see every enemy crushed beneath your feet, every sickness, every disease, every malady, every destructive spirit is coming underneath your feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he says then in verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Look at somebody and say, can't shut this. Then turn over to Matthew 16, verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let me pause here. Simon had just been asked a question. The question was, is who do men say that I am? This is what Jesus is asking him. Who do men say that I am? And the disciples said, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this. But Simon, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the anointed one. You are the one that has been sent. And he says this, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I, get this, I will give you the keys. Oh, praise God. Jesus is talking specifically to Peter right now, and he says, Peter, I'm giving you the keys. of the kingdom of heaven. Not that it's restricted to Peter. We'll see this in just a moment. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'd like to propose this to you this morning, and that is, I really believe the key of David and the keys of the kingdom are the same keys, really. Because whenever he's talking to Peter, he said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. But then whenever he's speaking to the entire church, he said, I've got the key of David, and I'm opening doors that nobody can shut. Now, you have to understand this. The Bible says that you are a joint heir with Christ. Look at somebody and say, you're an equal heir with Christ. What it means to be an equal heir is this: everything that he has, you have. Everything that he has, you've already been given. In other words, Jesus was declared righteous. How many know you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? How many know that Jesus took the stripes upon his back for your healing, and now he has been declared healed, which means this: now you have healing. So everything that Jesus has, you have. Look at somebody, say, everything that he has, I have. The Bible says over in Corinthians, as he is, so are we in this world. So understand this. Let me also look at it this way. He's the head, we're the body. I want everybody to understand this. Everything that my head has, my body has, because they're interconnected. So understand this. You cannot separate you and Jesus. Everything that he has, he has given to you. Amen. And so understand this, if he has the key of David, what does that mean? That means that you have been given keys. That means that you have the key of David, which means this, I want you to hear me out on this. God has given us keys that are to unlock things and to open doors that nobody can shut. Amen? Now, understand the key of David. What is it? The key of David and the keys of the kingdom, they are not literal keys. Hear this. They are anointings, they are gifts and graces that unlock and loose things on earth and in the heavens. And again, everything that Jesus possesses has been given to the church. What does that mean? That means there are anointings, there are gifts, there are graces that God has released within our lives that have the power to unlock and loose things here on earth, and also unlock and loose things in the heavens. How many of you will agree that it's time for us as the church to rise up and begin to unlock some doors and loose some things that need to be loosed? He has given us keys so that things can be unlocked and loosed within our lives. He specifically says the key of David. I'm laying a little bit of foundation for this, and we're going to get into it. David, who was a man after God's own heart. The key of David is the anointings and graces which were exhibited in the life of David, that whenever we practice it and we release it, it causes the hand of God to come forth to perform his will and his purpose within the earth. The key of David is an anointing and grace that God releases within the church that opens doors of opportunities and shuts doors that need to be shut. Not too long ago, as a matter of fact, we aired it this morning, it was on television, I guess it was a month or so ago, I preached a message on the double doors. Everybody say double doors. Understand this, whenever God makes a declaration that I'm opening double doors before you, understand this, he always will open doors in conjunction with what you're doing and keys that you're using. I'm gonna say that again. He will always open doors in conjunction with what you're doing in taking the keys of the kingdom and inserting them where they're supposed to be inserted and unlocking doors that need to be unlocked. Let me say it like this. God by himself doesn't do things here on the earth. He always will use a man or a woman to unlock things here in the earth. Let me say it like this. God will always use fivefold ministry to unlock things here in the earth. He will use the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to unlock things within the body of Christ. See, in other words, God doesn't do it automatically by himself without a man or a woman to operate or function through. In other words, all this stuff that we read about keys and unlocking doors, what is the Lord saying? He's saying, I've given you the keys. Now you go insert it into the law that I have prepared, because there are things that I have called you to unlock, and there are things that I have called you to loose. And if you'll take the key that I have given you, and if you'll put it in the lock, things will begin to be opened up before you. Hallelujah. Are you getting a hold of this? Now, it is the divine abilities released by the Holy Spirit that empower things to break through within our lives. Matthew 16, 19, as we already read, I will give you the keys of the kingdom and whatever you bind on earth. Jesus said this specifically to Peter. Peter was an apostle. Understand this, God will always use fivefold ministry, and God will use others within the body of Christ to unlock gifts and unlock destiny within our own lives. Now, again, all of that's just foundation for where I'm going. I want to start out by sharing some things about my own personal testimony. Whenever I was 17 years old, one day in my prayer time, the Lord began to speak to me. And I heard specifically the Lord say, I've called you to be a prophet. Now, I'm just 17 years old at this time. And the Lord says, I've called you to be a prophet. Now, you have to understand, I didn't really understand the full scope of what a prophet even was. The only kind of prophet that I really knew was the prophets that we read about in the Bible. And most of them were always prophesying judgment and calamity. And then I knew some folks who were declared that they were prophets. Like Brother Hagin was a prophet. And there may have been some others, but that was my only familiarity with really that aspect of the fivefold ministry. And the Lord said, I've called you to be a prophet. So I went to my pastor at that time, and I began to tell him, Pastor, I was praying the other day, and the Lord told me that I was called to be a prophet. And much to my chagrin, he did not even respond to it whatsoever. He said absolutely nothing and changed the subject. It was almost as if I did not even say anything. So immediately I began to think, well, I must have missed God. You know, here I am 17 years old, and I thought I heard the Lord saying that, hey, he'd call me to be a prophet. Fast forward 8 years later, I'm 25 years old. Now, all along these 8 years, I'm learning how to hear the voice of the Lord. And every now and then, I will give some type of prophetic word or a word of knowledge within our church body. However, was not prophesying to any degree like I prophesy now. 25 years old, October of 1987, I go to a prophetic gathering. I was actually asked to lead worship there on the Sunday morning of a prophetic gathering. It was the first or the second international gathering of the prophets. And after the service was over Sunday morning, one of our friends said, I want you to stay here for a little bit, and Dr. Bill Hammond is going to prophesy to you. Let me tell you something. Whenever you come into the company of prophets, you're changed. You're changed. Look at somebody say, the prophetic will change your life. Look at somebody say, the apostolic will change your life. I'm going to get down here. And anyway, he laid his hands upon me and began to prophesy. Now, understand, 8 years ago, the Lord had spoken to me, I've called you to be a prophet. I'm 17 years old. Now I'm 25, 8 years later. And this is one of the first things that comes out of his mouth. He said, I don't know if anybody has ever told you, but there's a mighty prophet's call that is upon your life. Now, for most people, that might not have been a big deal. But let me tell you what happened at the moment in time that he said that he decreed that he declared that. There was a key that God had placed in his hand that was inserted on the inside of me. And there was something that was opened up on the inside of me that had never been opened up before, because somebody recognized, a fivefold minister recognized, that there was something on my life that nobody else recognized. But somebody, hear this, God had given somebody a key. God didn't give my former pastor a key, but God gave Bishop Bill Hammond a key, and he inserted it on the inside of me. And all of a sudden, something began to be unlocked on the inside of me, began to flow up out of me. There was something that was loosed out of me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about keys to the kingdom. You may say, well, what does that mean to me? That means this, number one. Number one, it means this. There is somebody that God has given a key to, and it is only that person. Now, I know some people may not agree with me, and that's okay. You can be wrong. But it is only that person that has the ability to insert the key onto the inside of you and unlock destiny that is right there. And that's the reason a lot of people go certain places and gifts are never released within their lives. You never see anything happening. They come, they sit the chair, and they watch the pastor. They go home and they cook their meal and eat their roast, and then they come back next Sunday and they hear a good little word and say, thank you, Jesus. And then, you know, go and they cook their roast or their chicken. You know, I mean, chicken's a gospel bird after all. But anyway, you know, they eat their chicken, and then there's nothing that's ever activated. But I'm telling you, folks, that today God is releasing keys in this house. There are keys that are being released within this house to unlock things, unlock gifts, unlock anointings, unlock graces, unlock power, unlock the potential that God has placed on the inside of you. I said this at the beginning, we are not going to be the same anymore. Hallelujah. There is a transition. There is a shift that God is doing within this house. And hear this, in this shift, God is releasing keys. Because hear this, once something has been unlocked in your life, then you are given the same key to go unlock it in somebody else's life. And you've been given the power to begin to unlock those things. Look at somebody and say, I've got a key. Look at somebody and say, I'm being unlocked. So that I can then unlock somebody else. See, a lot of times whenever we talk about the keys of the kingdom, we've thought about it in terms of we're going to do warfare in the heaven, and I believe that that's applicable. I believe that we can bind and loose with prayer, with intercession. But you know what? A lot of times we haven't seen it in this sense, and that's what the Lord has been showing me, is that we have to understand that Jesus was speaking specifically to Peter. Peter, I'm giving you the keys. When he's talking to the church at Philadelphia, he's talking to that entire church body. I got the key of David, and you're joint heirs with me. I've given you keys so that doors can be opened that nobody can shut. Hear this. Whenever God opens and unlocks what's on the inside of you, there is nobody that has the power to shut it down or to keep it off. Hallelujah. 25 years old, all of a sudden the key shows up. What God told me whenever I was 17, the key showed up in whenever I was 25. What God spoke to me back in 1979, all of a sudden, 1987, the key shows up. See, there are some of you that, listen, that's the reason it's so important to get connected in a local church body. I'm gonna say it again. That's the reason it is so important to get connected in a local church body. You know why? Because not everything that needs to be unlocked within your life is gonna necessarily be unlocked by me, but there will be some things. However, get this, there will be others within the local church that have anointings. There's other pastors, there's other ministers, there's other saints that have power, that have a key to unlock things on the inside. Are y'all getting anything out of this? And now let me also say it this way. You've got a key to help unlock somebody else. You've been given a key. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I have a key. Does my key fit? See, all of us have a key. And you know what? There's somebody somewhere that God is going to cause you to unlock a gift on the inside of them. Amen? And so whenever I was 17 years old, I heard that. And then in 25, all of a sudden, a key is inserted into my life that changes my life forever. My destiny. And by the way, getting to the place where I was at, I had one plan. As a matter of fact, fast forward, rewind about 6 months. The Lord spoke to me in the church that I was at. He said, it's time to go. And spoke to the pastor too, by the way. I want everybody to understand this. I do believe that God speaks to leadership and also lets you know, lets them know. And anyway, spoke to the pastor, and whenever I left, I'm telling you, it was peaceful. It was a great transition. And we thought that we were going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the plan. And we were going to go to the school of the local church. They'd asked me actually to lead worship there in the school and to be the worship leader for the students. And I said, great, that's wonderful. And it's like a ministry graduate school. And we got there. We were there for 2 months. And right before the school year started, the Lord said, this is not where you belong. What are you doing here? And I answered the Lord. I said, Lord, I thought I was doing what you told me to do. He said, no, this is not where you're supposed to be. And he said, and immediately, within 2 days, we packed up everything that we could pack up. Joshua was just, he was about to turn 2 years old. And I remember it was the last, toward the end of August, we got in our car and we drove back in one night from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We left in the afternoon. We said, whenever God gave us the release, we left. And for about 2 months, we didn't know where we were going. We were just kind of, for lack of a better word, we were in transition. But understand this, whenever you're in that season, you got to understand that God has something great for you that he's about to unlock. And God had to take us that way in order to get us where we were supposed to be. I'm going to say that again. See, sometimes we don't understand why God's doing certain things, but the reality is he's doing it so he can position you correctly, so he can align you. That's part of the word of the Lord for this year is alignment. God is aligning things within our life. So God was aligning me. God was positioning me. Why? Because there was something that needed to be unlocked within my life. Understand this. If there's a prophetic gift that is there, it's whenever you get into prophetic stream that prophets have the ability to use a prophetic key to unlock prophetic giftings on the inside of you. That's the reason that every church must embrace all five of the fivefold ministry. Because understand that people will have different kinds of gifts. And some of them will be more apostolic, some will be more prophetic, some will be more evangelistic, some will be more pastoral, some will be more teaching oriented. Understand this, whenever the fivefold ministry is allowed to function and operate, doors are unlocked so that gifts can be manifested and so that people can find their place in the body of Christ. Can everybody say amen? Amen? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Now you may say, I'd like a biblical example for this. I'm glad you asked. Why don't we start with Jesus? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. I want you to see this in the Bible because understand, we see even the men of God that God used powerfully in the Bible, how that there were things that were locked up on the inside of them till somebody came along with the key. And again, that's the reason, you know, once you find somebody that has a key, that's the reason you need to get around them as much as you possibly can. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to beat ourselves on the chest, but there are keys of the kingdom that are in operation here in this church body. Matthew 3:13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? Now you have to understand what John is practicing is proselyte baptism, because that was the only kind of baptism there was at that time. Proselyte baptism was a baptism whereby Gentiles could actually come into Judaism. It was a baptism declaring that you were coming into covenant. And so it was proselyte baptism where those who were outside of covenant were coming into covenant. Now, how many know Jesus is already in covenant, right? He's a Jewish young man. He is practicing the law. He is doing everything that is required to be in covenant with the Lord. And so he says, listen, you don't need this. But notice what Jesus says. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. So Jesus goes to John the Baptist. And by the way, why did he go to John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist was the voice of the Lord within the earth at that time. John the Baptist represented the authority of God within the earth. There was no other prophet that was functioning or operating at that moment in time. So Jesus goes to the person that represents spiritual authority within the earth at that moment in time. And so also he represents apostolic and prophetic authority. Jesus is baptized with a baptism, again, proselyte baptism, that he did not need. But what Jesus was literally saying is this: this is what is proper for us to do in order to make things right. In other words, this is the proper thing. I must do this because this is what is required, because there is something that needs to be released within my life that has not been released yet. Because if you look and study the life of Jesus, Jesus had not performed any miracle. Jesus had not done anything up until that moment in time. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus, yes, he was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God, but there was no miraculous power that had shown up in Jesus' life. However, something takes place whenever he goes to John the Baptist. I hope you hear what I'm saying. And Jesus submits himself to the baptism of John. Hear this. There is a key that is put on the inside of Jesus that actually unlocks the things that the Father had ordained for him to do. Because nothing that the Father had ordained him to do had been released within his life. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is patterning to us the necessity of allowing fivefold ministry gifts to take a key and unlock things on the inside of you. Let me say it like this. It's not just you and Jesus. It's not just you and the Holy Spirit. Hear this. What God does in the earth in this season, God will always use men and women anointed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the biblical pattern. We see it exampled here even in the life of Jesus. So the reason that Jesus did this is because he recognized that John possessed a key to unlock something. He unlocked something within Jesus as the Son of Man. Because understand this, whenever Jesus came to the earth, he did not come... Here I say this, although he was God made flesh, the Word made flesh, the Bible says that he divested himself of his deity. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, he never did anything while he walked the face of the earth because he was God. He did it because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason he could not do anything up until this moment in time, because he had not received the anointing yet. So when Jesus is baptized of John, the first thing that happens is this: the Holy Spirit descends. Everybody shout anointing. See, the Holy Spirit anointing begins to be released within the life of Jesus. As a matter of fact, let me also say this: heaven responds whenever earth begins to unlock things. So remember, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. And John took the key that he had been given and he had inserted it into things that were locked up in the life of Jesus. What happens? Heaven begins to respond. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, whenever you come under certain anointings and gifts and graces, and ever you allow yourself to submit to that, there is keys that are inserted to your life that heaven then responds and sends forth anointings. Amen? So the Holy Spirit descends. There's an anointing that's released upon his life. Let me just pause here for just a moment. There was a young man many, many years ago. He felt like he had been called to write songs. And this is, I'm talking about, this goes back to 1986, I think, 1986. And he came down for 1 week and spent some time with me at the church where I was the music director. And the week after that we had spent the time together, he had not written any songs up until this time. The week after we spent the time together, he went back and he started writing songs. And they literally began to pour out of him. He called me up, he said, something happened when I spent that week with you, because there were songs that began to pour out of me. And I'm telling you what happened. You see, you get around people with certain anointings, they possess certain keys that have the ability to unlock certain things within your life. And what had happened, without even knowing what we were doing, I had put a key that God had given me, and it unlocked something on the inside of him that needed to be unlocked. It was already there. The only thing that God used me to do was unlock it. Are you following this? So the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit descends. The next thing that happens is there's a voice from heaven. Everybody shout commissioning. So the next thing that happens after the anointing is there is a commissioning. So here comes the voice of the Lord, and there is a declaration that this is my son. There is a commissioning that happens. As a matter of fact, it actually says, I'm well pleased with him. The next thing that happens is there's an identity when he says, my beloved son. So there's an identity that is bestowed upon Jesus. I am well pleased. There is empowerment and boldness because whenever the Father says, I'm pleased, it empowers the sons. Hallelujah. So what we see is all of these things happen all because Jesus, he goes to John and is baptized. What happens after all of these things take place? Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he kicks the devils behind. Understand this, whenever you allow keys to be inserted into your life and you allow things to be unlocked, there is power then that is released in order for you to overcome, in order for you to see every enemy put beneath your feet and made ashes beneath your feet. Hallelujah. See, there are some people that have problems with the enemy because they won't actually allow a key to be inserted into their lives. They won't submit long enough. Oh, praise God. I'll go ahead and use the word submit. It's a Bible word. They won't submit long enough to allow somebody to insert a key to unlock some things, and therefore they constantly have issues and problems all because they just won't stay around long enough. Lord, we got enough people in the body of Christ that are conference floaters. And most of the time, those are the people that are having problems in every single area of their life, and they keep searching for the answer. Whenever they just get where God wants them, there'll be keys that are inserted into their life to open up overcoming power. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's another example. Y'all with me? Elisha. Elisha, he's plowing in the field, and Elijah comes by and throws his mantle on him. What is that? There's an invitation that comes from the man of God by the Holy Spirit. Elisha then sacrifices the oxen upon the altar of the plow that he was using. What does that mean? There's a response. There's a correct response. In other words, yes. You might want to write this down. Your destiny is always fulfilled on the other side of your yes. If you keep saying no, you will never see destiny fulfilled. See, so many people, I want destiny fulfilled and I want prophecy fulfilled, but I want it on my terms. Your terms is you saying no to God's terms. And you have to be willing to submit yourself to whatever the process is and whatever God declares. And you have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Look at somebody and say, we got to say, yes, Lord. Are y'all getting something out of this? Now, see, I know that there's some things that are being confronted this morning. We're confronting some old religious thinking. We're confronting a lot of things that people see because we have been a culture and a generation that have been raised. It's just Jesus and me. I don't need anybody else. And I'm telling you, there is nothing that is farther from the truth. And you see it in the life of Jesus. You see it in the life of every man or woman of God that ever did anything in the body of Christ. They realize the importance of the body of Christ and being connected to the right people. You got to get connected. Look at somebody and say, you got to get connected. Let me say it like this. Doors are never open until there's a key that's connected to the lock. Whenever the key then connects to the lock, then the door opens. And so a lot of times what happens are people, you know, they're wanting doors to open without a key being inserted. And you see, whenever you try to open doors without the key, it's called unauthorized entry. And you're going in as the thief. Oh, y'all, please don't shout me down right now. See, a lot of people trying to do things without authorization, trying to do things in the body of Christ that they were not authorized to do. All because I got a prophetic word, now I'm just going to go do it. No, you got to wait till the key's inserted. I said you got to wait till the key's inserted. See, I couldn't just go out and start prophesying. 17, God said, you're a prophet, but it wasn't time yet. Wasn't time for me to prophesy. Wasn't time for me to start a church. Wasn't time for me to get a card or print it up. And prophet will prophesy. No, that wasn't the time. It wasn't the season. Why? Because there was a key that needed to be released within my life. But the moment that that key was released in my life, there was a transformation and an opening up of things. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody's getting a hold of this. Hallelujah. You can either shout, yes, Lord, or oh me, one or the other. It's time for us to stop doing our own thing and start doing God's thing. It's time for us to get plugged in and connected, because there are people that have keys within our lives. I want y'all to hear this. The enemy will always try to drive a wedge between you and the person that has the key to unlock things within your life. Always. Always. Always try to bring offense. Let me tell you something. You know, we got married 1981. Praise the Lord, a glorious day. June 12th, 1981. We got married. Let me tell you what. This woman has unlocked some things within me. Some good things within me. One thing, she unlocked 3 children. I'm going to try to be... There were 3 children inside of me that needed to be birthed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to embarrass myself here. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? When we pass the children. I mean, I was the most serious person. You may think I'm serious now. I'm telling you, I never smiled. Everything was serious. Ah. You know, I looked like a pirate all the time. Ah. Ar. That, you know, never happy. I mean, I was happy inside, but I was so serious, nobody knew it. And she came along and helped me actually learn to enjoy life, enjoy living, unlock some things within me. Praise the Lord. And I helped unlock some things within her also. See, we help one another. Amen? Are y'all understand? That's just a purely natural example that all of us, I think, can relate to that are married. But see, we have so many folks that are just trying to do their own thing. And see, anytime you try to proceed without authorized entry, what Jesus said is you're going in as a thief. And you know what? There's a lot of people that just because they got a prophecy, they start doing things without allowing the key to be inserted, without allowing themselves to get connected to the key that has the ability to open the right thing on the inside of them, which then gives them a key to open it in the lives of others. See, you can never use a key you do not have. Amen? So Elisha then serves Elijah for at least 10 years. He becomes the water boy. Everybody say, water boy. He's serving up some high quality H2O. And he is serving Elijah. He's pouring water on the hands of Elijah. Here comes the water boy. What you need? What you need, Elijah? I got your water here. That's the only thing that is said about Elisha. That's his reputation. Water boy. But understand, the whole time, Elisha recognizes something that everybody else doesn't recognize. You see that man that I know you call me water boy right now, but you don't understand, I'm just waiting for the key. I'm just waiting for the key, because I know that there's something that's going to take place. And I'm just hanging around till the key is taken out of the holder. And because I know that there's something on the inside of me, because I remember the day 10 years ago whenever the man of God came by me and he threw the mantle upon me. He took his mantle. And he threw that mantle on me. He threw it on me. And I know that whenever he threw that mantle on me, I recognized there was an anointing at that moment in time. that was there deposited within my life, but I can't use it yet. The call came because you see, whenever a prophet would release his mantle, it was an indication that there's a call. A call. Everybody say a call.
A call.
Understand there's a difference between a call and a commissioning.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
There's a difference between a call and a commissioning. See, the call, just it's a call saying, I'd like for you to come and show up. But you're not being commissioned yet. Now, how many of you were in the military or are in the military? Now, how many of you know that once you sign up, then there's a call?
That is correct.
There's an email. It used to be, I think, a call, actually, that you would receive.
Yes.
And the call would say, you got to show up at camp so-and-so.
That's it.
Right?
Yes.
And how many know the day you showed up did not mean that you are authorized to do anything? You are authorized to do push-ups. You are authorized to do sit-ups. You are authorized to run with a backpack on your back. You are authorized to say, sir, yes, sir, right? And ma'am, yes, ma'am. That's the only thing that you're authorized to do. And by the way, you're going to get a gun, but we're not giving you any bullets yet.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Right now, you are Barney Fife. Put the bullet in your pocket. Right? It's not time yet. You got the call, but you ain't got the commissioning yet. And after you go through all the training, then you get an assignment. And then you'll go to a base, right? And you'll probably even go through some more training.
Yes.
But then there will be a day of commissioning where all of a sudden they say, now it's time for you to do what you've been trained to do. And there will be an officer.
Yes.
Oh,
say that again. Oh, hallelujah. That will all of a sudden show up and give you an assignment. What are they functioning as? As the person with the key to unlock what you've already got on the inside of you. But now he's saying, now it's time to put it into high gear and begin to function in the thing whereunto you have been called. Amen? So Elisha, for 10 years, you need some more water, Elijah? You want a cup of water? I'm the water boy. Here comes a cup of water. You need your feet washed. I know they stink, but you know what? I recognize that I'll push through the stink for what's coming on the other side. Because Elijah, I know you got a key and I want the key. I know, Elijah, you got a key and I need that key to unlock something on the inside of me. I know that you've got a key. Nobody else here has the key. The sons of the prophets don't have the key. Elijah, you're the only man that's got the key. So he serves a man for 10 years. Doesn't ever fuss, doesn't ever complain. Bless God, when's my time going to come? Move over, Elijah. Elisha cometh.
Jesus.
Never complained.
Come on.
No accolades. No praise. No recognition. Washing feet, washing hands. Taking out the trash. Cleaning up the house. Nothing that's of a high profile whatsoever. I think one time he may have been able to deliver a word that Elijah gave, but he didn't get to do anything. And so, why does he do it? Because I'm just waiting. By the way, Elisha, I want you to know the time of my departure is coming close. Is there anything that you would like? Is there anything that you would like before I go, before I leave this place? Elijah, I only want one thing. I want the key. Elijah, I want the key. I want the key. I want a double portion of what you've got already. I want that to be unlocked within my life. I haven't spent 10 years of my life serving you and waiting on you for you to leave this place and me have absolutely nothing. I'm placing a demand on the key that you have, on the anointing. What's the key? I said it before. It is anointings, gifts, and graces that God releases within our lives to unlock anointings, graces, and gifts in the lives of others. I want the key. Just give me the key. That's all I want. 10 years, all I want is a key. I want something unlocked on the inside of me. He said, Elisha, that's a really difficult thing. However, later on tells him, if you see me go, the key is yours. The anointing's yours if you see me go. So Elijah starts traveling, and the next thing you know, he's telling Elisha, hey, Elisha, you just need to stay here. And what does Elijah say? I'm not losing sight of the key. I'm not losing sight of the key. Elijah, you got a key. I'm not losing sight of the key. You think I'm going to now. I've gone too far to turn back now. You've got something, and I'm not going to let go of you until I get my portion. So keeps following him. Walks a little farther. Said, no, Elijah, you just need to take a rest. I feel like I need to go do something over here. He said, no, wait, no. I'm not letting, my eyes are on the key. I want that key. I've got to have the key because right now I'm locked up. I'm all locked up. You ever heard somebody say, I feel all locked up? You know, only thing you need, you just need the right key, glory to God, to unlock some things. Right? And you got to stay with it until the key comes out and is inserted into the lock and things within your life. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying this, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying this, you don't stop just because things might get a little frustrated along the way. Don't stop. Don't grow weary. Stayed with it. And finally the day comes, chariot of fire takes Elijah away. And the mantle falls. And guess who's there chasing after the mantle? I saw him leave. Here comes my key right now. The key is falling from heaven. Because whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I was there. I am the rightful heir. And the key is now mine. He takes Elijah's mantle, strikes the water. And what ends up happening in Elisha's life, he performs double the amount of miracles that Elijah performed. A double portion mantle fell upon Elisha. You know why? Because he stayed with the man that had the key to unlock what was on the inside of him. See, every one of us, they're people that God has called us to hook up with, to attach to. Why? Because they got keys. But not only that, hear this. God is going to unlock things in you, and whenever he unlocks it, you have the key, and then you can take that key and unlock things in the lives of others. So not only am I being unlocked, but praise God, I'm also being used to unlock things in the lives of others. You know, I'm pointing around this room this morning, and I can show you people. I know how you came, and I know what you're doing right now. And I can testify that there's gifts that have been unlocked within your life. Oh, hallelujah. There's anointings. Why? Because an anointing that God has placed upon my life and upon the lives of others within this church body have now unlocked things within you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. We got to get connected. We got to stay connected. And I'm telling you by the Holy Spirit, there's some of you that have been living a frustrated life. And you know, the only thing you got to do is just get connected. You don't have to live in frustration anymore. You get connected. I'm telling you, things are going to begin to take place. You know what? I tell you, you can see in the life of Peter. Peter was a fisherman, but he had to get connected to Jesus. You know, there's so many things, so many other places I could go to within this. I'm going to stop right now. But understand this. We got to be connected and allow the key to come into our lives. And hear this. You cannot allow offense. Listen, why would you allow an offense to keep things in your life from being unlocked? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is your offense, is it worth it? For you to keep things locked up within your life. My friend, it's not worth it. It's time to forgive. It's time to forget. It's time to move forward, because God has great things for every single person that's under the sound of my voice. There are things that God wants to unlock, and I'm telling you that the keys of the kingdom are being released, hallelujah, in order that gifts and anointings and graces can be unlocked within your life. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Do you receive anything out of this today? I have never taught this before in my life. Last three places I've been at, that's something that God has just been, it took us a while to get there, but I had to lay that foundation. I haven't even really gotten into the message yet, so you're just going to have to buckle your seatbelt, because I will tell you, every one of the fivefold ministry gifts have a different key that unlocks different things within our lives. And whenever we receive from all fivefold, listen, let me tell you, that's whenever things, the fullness of our destiny, the fullness of our purpose begins to come into play, and we see it happen. How many of you say, Pastor, I want to see the fullness of my destiny fulfilled. I want to see everything God called me to do fulfilled. So I am willing. I'm willing for somebody to unlock things on the inside of me. Now, I understand. Ultimately, it is the Lord. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But you see, God uses men. We see it. We see it with Jesus. We see it with Elisha. These are some of the most anointed men that we ever see in the Bible. But yet God used another person. In my own personal life, God used other people, men anointed by the Holy Spirit, to unlock gifts on the inside of me. And I'm telling you, God is wanting to unlock more things many times than what people are experiencing. But it's all because they're aborting the process. And I'm telling you today, the Lord is saying, it's time to stop aborting the process. Don't allow offense to get you out of the place where God has somebody that's got a key that's going to unlock things within your life. Amen? How many say, Pastor, I want God to unlock things within my life. I want the keys of the kingdom to be released within my life. Come on, just raise your hand. You see, that's the reason many, many years ago we got under a ministry that had an anointing for family. And you know what's happened? Because they had a key to unlock certain family things within us. Now we see it manifested within our family. And can I tell you, that key is here, hallelujah. That same key is here. The same anointing, the same gift, the same grace for family. Damon Thompson prophesied it. February of 2012, he said, the Lord has released within you an anointing to raise up godly homes and godly families. This church will be about godly homes and godly families. We say, yes, Lord, let that anointing, let that key begin to unlock that within every home, within every family, within this church, amen. Can you lift your hands to the Lord right there where you're at? Come on, lift your hands. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Shadaratakashata. I'm telling you, folks, God's doing it. Lord, unlock those things within our lives. Unlock those things within our lives. Unlock those gifts. Unlock those graces. Come against every spirit of offense now in the name of Jesus. And we declare the gifts and the anointings and the graces of God are being unlocked within our lives. We declare miracles are being unlocked in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Sharataka Shata. It's a new season and a new time. It is a new moment. There is a shift that God is doing. There is a shift in our thinking that is coming about right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bow your head for just a moment.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.